Imagine waking up on a beautiful shore and finding out it's heaven. I know I've never succeeded, but I've tried many, many times to imagine what it really will be like to see the face of Jesus. I know that it's going to be spectacular. I know that it's going to be something like we've never beheld before. And I know that I'm looking forward to it. Sister Amber, if you would, come on and sing. And let's pray for her as she shares a song with us today.
Okay, y'all have to bear, bear with me. I have a sore throat, so. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Amen. Beautiful song, beautifully sung. Appreciate that. I do want to, in case anyone doesn't know, Brother Joey Hayes is helping me with working on updating the introduction on our television broadcast, and so he's doing some videotaping today. I didn't know if anybody was nervous or you're not on candid camera today, but I appreciate him doing that. I'd like to read some scripture before you this morning and ask for your prayers as I try to bring the message that the Lord has placed on my heart. During the last 25 years that I've been trying to preach, I've tried to preach on this subject a couple of times, and I certainly haven't done it justice then, and I'm sure I won't today, but I really have enjoyed the study of it, and I'd like to share some things with you today from the subject that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'd like to read from the very first verse of the Bible. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, I want to begin reading there with verse 1 and read about the first five verses for a scripture text today. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And that's reading, as I said, from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I want to ask you again to pray that God would bless the reading of his word today, and that he would bless the message as it's brought forth. When we read the scriptures, we have to keep in mind that we're reading spiritual writings. There are a lot of things that you can read today. There are a lot of novels that are being written. There are a lot of histories that are written. There's books written just about everything, about every subject that you could read and study about today. But we have to remember that when we study the scriptures and read the scriptures, we are reading spiritual writings, because these are authored by the Holy Spirit. He is the author of all scripture. All scripture is given by his inspiration. People have, tried to argue against the scriptures for many years. And one of the things they've used is that, well, is not it a book that was written by man? Well, it was, but they were just mere scribes. They wrote what the Holy Spirit moved up on them and told them to write down. So he is the author of all scripture. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so when we study the scriptures, then because they are spiritual writings, we need to look for that which is spiritual in them. And I believe that these verses here that talk about the natural creation of things, the creation of the natural world that we live in, these verses have some very spiritual implications. And that's what I would like to talk about today. My subject this morning, my title today, is The Darkness and the Light. And I want to make some points, about four or five points, from these verses that have been read. And that is that I'm still convinced today all of the evolutionists of the world have not shaken me. I'm still convinced today that God created the world. We read a very simple statement. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we find in these scriptures that when he first created it, that it was a bit of a chaos. It was yet without order. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, where I read, that the earth was without form and it was void when God first created it. He had not yet set things in order. He had not yet shaped it into what he would very soon. And so it was without order, it was without form, it was void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so I want you to keep in mind that God's earth, when He first created it, that it was covered with darkness. And in the third verse that I read, we find that God's first action to set things in order was that He commanded into existence light. He spoke it. God has a voice of great authority, the greatest authority. And He spoke, and He simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was covered with darkness. God spoke light into existence. And the next point I'd like to make is that God saw that the light was good. And He divided the light from the darkness. There was something there in the light that God favored. God saw that the light was good, and He took it and He separated the darkness and the light. And that's exactly the way that He intends for them to be today, separated. And we'll get into that here in just a few moments. And then the last point that I wanted to make was that God named the light day, and He named the darkness night. The darkness and the light. Light's really an amazing thing. We have lights on all over our sanctuary here today. If you go into a dark room, and we all that have done that are well aware of how hard it is to function when you can't see. When you're in a room that's dark, and I don't know about you, but with me, when I go into a room that's dark, the first thing I begin to do is I begin to feel around. I mean, even in the house that I live in, when I walk into a room that's dark, the first thing I do is I begin to reach for the light switch because I just can't see. I might trip over something and fall down and tear the floor up. I need light. We need light. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, that the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And we stumble in the darkness. This may be a little bit funny, but it happened. I got up one night in the middle of the night, and most all the time the bedroom door would be wide open. And I got up one night in the middle of the night in the dark and didn't turn the light on or anything, and that door was closed, and I ran my face right into it. I mean, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see what was there, and I smashed my face into it. And so there's, you know, the great probability that you're going to stumble in the dark and run into things. I want to say that in the Scriptures, we know in many cases that sin is represented as darkness, or darkness represents sin. And I want us to get the spiritual things that God, I believe, wanted us to know right off the bat, right in the very first Scriptures that He inspired to be penned down. He had spiritual teachings in those Scriptures for us. And we are to see that the light is distinct from the darkness, and that God divided them. And that in the darkness, people lose their way and they stumble. My prayer today is if you are here today and you're not saved, I pray that before this service ends today, that you will come to the light. Because the light is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, as I said earlier, light is really an amazing thing because, and I can only imagine what it was like when God, His Spirit moved over that deep darkness that was upon the face of the earth. I can imagine, only imagine how bright and magnificent that it must have been when God spoke that first time and said, "Let there be light." Because you know as well as I do, again, if you come into a room that is dark, when you flip the light on, you find out that light has an amazing ability. It can dispel all the darkness. And I know that today we have access to all different forms of light. I mean, you can buy a 40-watt light bulb or a 60-watt light bulb or a 100-watt light bulb, and you have a strong light in that light fixture, and you flip that light switch on, and I mean, suddenly you just won't see any darkness anywhere. It will just dispel all of the darkness, and it'll be gone. Solomon in the Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13, I believe it was, he said that he saw that wisdom excelled folly as much as light excels darkness. Light has power over darkness. Light can chase the darkness away. Light can dispel the darkness, as I said. It's more powerful than the darkness, just like wisdom is more powerful than folly or foolishness. Light is much more powerful than the darkness. Now, Paul used these scriptures. He used the creation when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, I believe it is. Paul used these scriptures concerning creation and the things that took place there in reference to that which is spiritual. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves Jesus' servants for your sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out in the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If you're lost today, you're lost in darkness. If you're lost in the darkness of sin. The devil has you blinded. Satan, the god of this world, has blinded your mind. He does not want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine unto you. He wants to keep you in the darkness forever if he can. There is a world beyond this world. There is a lower world known as hell. The Bible calls it hell, or the lake of fire. And I read in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, I believe it talks about it, if I don't have the wrong verse. It talks about that place, and it calls it a place of outer darkness. Now, you may say, well, you know, I've heard that hell is a place of eternal flames. And when we think of flames here, we think of a fire. We think of something that gives off light. But let me tell you something. There's no light in hell. That place is pitch black. It's a place of pitch darkness, outer darkness. There's a flame that burns there. Yes, I believe that with all my heart. There is a flame that burns in that lower world and eternally torments those that are there, but it's a black flame. It doesn't put off any light. It doesn't give any light at all, those that are there. And I believe that's why there's such wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's a place of darkness because, listen, the reason that hell is a place of outer darkness is because the Lord is not there and He is the light. And in hell, you'll never have any part of Him. You'll never have any access to Him. You'll be separated forever from the love and the mercy of God. And the devil wants to keep you in that spiritual darkness. Make no mistake, lost friend. He has blinded your mind. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine unto you. He wants to keep you as far away from the light as He possibly can. And I want to encourage you today to come to the light. That's the only way that the darkness will ever vanish. That's the only way that you'll ever find your way out. The only way that you can ever find your way out of the darkness is by looking to the light. I'm glad that there's a light. Friends, listen, I'm glad and thankful today that when my soul was in the darkness of sin, I'm thankful that there was a light there that I could look to. If it had not been for Jesus, I would have never found my way out of that darkness. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But He's not in the world anymore, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But there's a beautiful verse, and I wrote this down. I made a note of this because I didn't want to misquote it at all. There's a beautiful verse found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. This is something that David said. He said, "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." You know, we live in a world of darkness, don't we? And it seems to be getting darker all the time because sin just continues to breed. Sin just continues to grow. People, don't seem to be on the way of reforming. People seem to just be getting worse and worse and more sinful all the time. Friends, listen, I am hearing things in the world today, and I am surrounded by things in the world today that when I was a child, I never would have imagined people doing. And if I had imagined them doing those things, I wouldn't have imagined that they would speak outwardly about them and boast about them the way that they do. Let me tell you something, friends. We live in a world today that people will commit adultery and they'll boast about it. They'll boast about it. There's people in the world today that will rob and steal and boast about it. Not only will they do it, those things have been going on for many years, but they will do those things today and boast about doing them. Woe unto them that call evil good. There are people today that will commit evil And they say that they believe it's good. I heard, I didn't mean to mention this at all, but I'm going to. The Lord put it on my heart. I heard, this was just printed. It was just like a public interview. I read about these people that they were talking about being unfaithful in their marriages, and they said they believed that it would strengthen their marriage. Boy, that's darkness, isn't it? I'll tell you one thing. I don't know where people come up with such ideas like that. I don't know how people come up with such off-the-wall ideas as things like that. I can tell you where they didn't get it. They didn't find it here because that was one of the things that made the Big Ten list. That made the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. People do those things today and they brag and boast about what they've done. We live in a world of darkness. Darkness all around us. People drink. I mean, they drink themselves into a blind stupor and laugh it up. Laugh it up. Sad world that we live in. I'm glad that the Lord is my lamp. Because I realize that we are all prone to sin. And I realize that, you know, it's not in me to stay away from those things. If I didn't have the Lord lighting the way, if I didn't have the Lord shining that lamp and making my path bright before me, then I'd hate to think about the things that I would be guilty of. But I can relate to what David said when he said, "The Lord is my lamp, and the Lord will light my darkness." And I'm glad that I've got somebody that I can look to and depend upon for strength that'll light the way before me. And God has spoken to my heart many times and said, "Son, stay away from those things." He has directed my life many, many times. I believe that God shines that light before His people. I really do. And if we'll just follow it, God will lead us in the paths of righteousness and beside the still waters. We don't need to be walking in darkness, do we? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We need to despise the darkness. Friends, listen, I want to say this today, and I need to say this today. You know, there's something that's greatly lacking, I believe, today among us as Christian people, and that is that we don't have enough righteous indignation against the things of darkness. We don't have enough hatred of sin. Friends, listen, sin has no place in our lives, and it has no place in our church. And I believe that when sin is in the camp, it needs to be preached out. We need to get rid of it. We don't have enough repentance in our lives. Friends, listen, of the things of this world, some of them I've mentioned today, the things of darkness that surround us, they ought to be a great stench to the nostrils of God's people. We ought to abhor sin. The Bible teaches me that as soon as we see evil stick its ugly head up, that we are to flee from it and get away from it. We partake of too much of the darkness of this world. John, in his writings in 1 John chapter 1, he cautioned us about that. And I love John's writings because, you know, when you read them, you never have to wonder about what he was saying. He was so plain in the things he wrote. He said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Isn't that right? We can't walk in the darkness of sin. We can't dabble in the things of this world. I heard it mentioned, Brother Wheat mentioned again this morning in the Sunday school lesson how that Jesus plainly told us that no man can serve two masters. You cannot be successful in serving the world on one hand and serving God on the other hand. Jesus said you will hate the one and you'll cling to the other. You can't serve both of them. And friends, listen, we cannot walk in the darkness of sin. We cannot dwell in that darkness and say that we have fellowship with God, because when we do, we're lying to ourselves and we're lying to whoever we tell it to. Now, you know what? I don't know whether you're in the darkness or not, but I'll tell you who does know. God does. God knows. He knows exactly what path that each one of us are walking. But John also said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us also. We're all guilty. We all have that capability of following after sin, don't we? And if you tell me today that you can live completely above sin, I'm going to tell you today that the scriptures says you're wrong. If we say that we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But listen, the fact that we are prone to sin is not a license for us to practice that. John went on into the second chapter there of 1 John, and he concluded his writing by saying, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Lord. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So whether you're lost today or whether you are saved and walking in the darkness and are out of fellowship with God, either way, the remedy is the same. How do you get rid of the darkness? How do you dispel the darkness? How do you get away from the clutches of sin? Well, you escape them by going to the light. The light. God saw the light, that it was good. And He divided it from the darkness. And He still would today that the lightness, or the light rather, and the darkness would be divided. Now I want to go back to what Jesus said when He said in John chapter 9, I believe it is, where Jesus said, I am the light, or as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But He's not in the world anymore. He's not here anymore. He's already been crucified, resurrected from the grave, ascended back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Heavenly Father and making intercession for our prayers. He's not here anymore. But if you look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, you'll find out that before He left, before Jesus left the world, He told His church, He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And friends, there are people out there around us that are stumbling in the darkness. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let me tell you something. Don't be surprised when you see sinners sinning, because it's their nature to sin. Don't let it astonish you when you see those that are of the world the life that they live, the way that they sin. Don't be surprised at that. That's their very nature to sin. And what we need to do is we need to shed the light of Jesus Christ before them. We need to be that city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Listen, a Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church needs to shine as a beacon to the city of Bowling Green, Kentucky. They need to see the light of Christ shining from this lighthouse. That's what we need to be. We need to be a lighthouse. When we're out in the community, when we're out among the inhabitants of this community, if they see us walking in darkness, we won't be a light to them, will we? We won't be a light to them. You are the light of the world. I got happy this morning. When we sang the songs of Zion, sang about the land that's waiting for the redeemed, my heart rejoiced. You see, one day, I cried out from the darkness. And when the Lord saved me, I mean, He put a light in my soul that dispelled the darkness of sin. I mean, it drove it away. And I'm just going to be honest with you today. I'm going to be honest with you in my feelings today. I want to stay here as long as God would have me to, as long as God feels like He can use me, I want to stay here. I'm willing to stay here. But I am so looking forward to the city of light, because I know that there's no darkness there at all. You know, one day I'm going to go live in a land where I never again am I going to have to hear about a baby being abused and thrown away in a trash can like it was nothing. I won't have to hear about that anymore. I won't ever have to hear about a child wronging their parents and abusing their parents and even killing their parents. I won't ever have to hear about a parents abusing and killing their child. I won't ever have to hear about these gross immoralities and these gross sins that are all around us every day. One day, through the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us that are saved will escape those things. And friends, listen, there is a city of light that is waiting for us that have been saved by God's grace, and no darkness will ever be there. There'll never be any sin in that place. God, in His creation, He made the sun to rule by the day and the stars and the moon by night. God set the sun in its place in the creation. It is an estimated 93 million miles away from the earth. And God placed it to where it can give light on the earth without frying us, without burning us up. God placed it right where it needed to be to do exactly, and it lights the earth by day, and the stars and the moon light up, cast some light by night. But in the city of God, those things won't be needed. The Bible teaches me that we won't have any need of the sun anymore because the glory of God will lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. It'll be the S-O-N, not the S-U-N, that gives light to that city. If you're here today and you're lost, we're going to have a song here in just a moment. If Brother Sanford will get one ready. I want you to know, lost soul, that you're in darkness. You are in darkness. The devil has you blinded. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into your soul. If you remain in that dark condition, that lost condition, you're going to go to a land of a place of outer darkness forever and forever. But there is hope. There is light. There is one that can lead you out of darkness. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that when the Lord saved us, He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We were there. We were stumbling. We were stammering. We were searching in the darkness. And God called us out of it into His marvelous light. And lost friend, He'll do the same thing for you today. If you'll look to Him, God can call unto you and He can show you the way out and the way into His marvelous light. God bless you today and help you to seek Him and have the light of Christ shine in your soul today while we stand and sing.
195. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Here I am.
Reach out to Him today, lost friend. The Lord wants to save you.